Welcome to More with Mo. My name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at JulieLand.com. Today, as always, I'm joined by the man who has never been to Old MacDonald's farm, Mr. Richard Avery.
Ho! Or should I say, and a oink, 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 oink there, here an oink, there an oink, everywhere an oink.
E-I-E-I-O. So, Dick, you grew up in the city, right?
I grew up in Santa Cruz, California, by the beach, brah.
Really?
It was all about waves, girls in bikinis, and sand, sun, surf.
So you didn't live in
no.
in the sticks, if
we
you
did,
will.
We did farming. We did have the Santa Cruz Mountains, and we went to, you know, camping here and there, and we would go, you know, do that kind of stuff. Do a little fishing, but nothing.
Fishing. Yeah.
But I was usually fishing for girls.
Ooh, look at you, you big stud.
Throw up my line.
Well, the reason why I ask this is, you know, I grew up in, you know, I'm trailer trash. I grew up trailer trash, okay. You know, and I'm fine admitting it. Small town America, farms, things like that. And I found out that my guest today also grew up in more of the rural lifestyle. I'm not saying trailer trash, you know, I'm just saying.
Inbred white trash?
No, there was no inbreeding. Go fuck yourself.
Okay.
Today, I have Odette Delacroix.
Ooh, baby.
Ooh.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, especially now that I'm back out of the woods from Maine, where no, I exactly. just was last week.
Now, you said Maine. I thought that was like, you know, I didn't know there was like rural there. I just thought
it's
it was
all rural. I mean, what else is there?
No, I just
it's like a couple vacation homes in the woods.
Yeah.
No. There, but you mentioned that there's farming. There's
oh yes.
yeah, lots.
There. It's a fairly agricultural state. In think of rushing sort of crops, potatoes, short season crops, the tomatoes, things like
that's
that.
That's insane. Cause I grew up I went to high school in Eastern Oregon. I grew up in Hood River, which was on the Columbia River. So we mm-hmm. had apples and pears and orchards.
Yes.
But on the Eastern side, it was all about potatoes. We were right next to Idaho. So it was potatoes and sugar beets. I thought that was, where
I grew up
we
in
were.
Santa Cruz. It was all about weed.
Yes.
They grew pot. Tons.
The potato of California.
Exactly.
The green potato.
Okay, so there's potatoes in
baked
Maine.
Baked potato. So, yes, because it's cold climate, thin soil, potatoes don't need a lot of anything to thrive. In fact, they thrive better if there's frost and the soil gets cold for part of the year. Anyway, I took home a bag of potatoes that my aunt farmed for me.
Specifically for you.
Them all.
And
yes.
Here's Odette's plot.
Yes, this Merry is Odette's bag. This is so and so's bag.
It's like Merry Christmas. Here's a potato.
And when I go home in the summer, I get a bag of organic blueberries because my paternal grandparents are organic blueberry and strawberry farmers. Mm. My maternal grandparents are organic grass-fed free-range Hereford cattle ranchers.
Wow.
So it's a very, and my uncle runs a very successful lobstering business.
Okay, now see, that's where I would go is, I was thinking lobster. For some reason, I didn't realize that there was anything off of Maine besides, you know, near the coast.
What do you think? Is your vision of Maine like clam chowder and lobster?
Well, it is.
I know Vermont is. Isn't Vermont about syrup?
And we make maple syrup. We tap trees too.
I've been to Massachusetts, Boston, a bunch of places around Boston. So I know that, and I've been around that area. I haven't been to Maine, though, but I do know, like, what she's saying. Yeah, that's everything saying, that's what I think of Maine.
It's quite a breadbasket if you like that sort of...
If you like
I think
bread,
like
I love
hearty
bread.
Hearty comfort food. I grew up in a French family, a Canadian French family, with
gross.
Access to a ton of grown, like, homegrown food. I ate so well as a kid. I had no idea what I had because I hated it all the way through, all the way up until rather recently. I always looked at my past as sort of a source of shame, embarrassment. Mm-hmm. My family was like, it was so primitive the way I grew up.
But if I had French Canadian blood in me, I'd feel embarrassed too, though.
Oh my God. Are we really? Okay. So here's the question, because I know you probably never have. And I'm not talking about a porta potty. When was the last time you used an outhouse?
An outhouse?
An actual outhouse shitting in a hole. Outhouse.
Three, 4 months ago?
Damn.
I thought you were going to say maybe like a porta potty.
Let's see.
No. You don't use porta potty.
Late July.
Nice.
Into early August. When I went back home to Maine. Because at our camp, it's a hole.
Yep.
Wow.
I was going to say, this
hole.
Is...
go outside and shit in the hole.
Squat.
You talk to people that are city, you know, don't really go out and go, wait, you did that? Yeah, on my grandparents' farm. Oh, yeah. You went out and there was the out. I mean, they had plumbing in the house, but you didn't use that. It'd been there for decades and it was, you know... It was
exactly. And growing up, our house was primarily heated, and this is Maine, by a wood stove in the basement. And we would spend about a month and a half preparing for winter at the end of every summer. My dad owned a small construction company, so he had heavy equipment. We'd go out, cut down trees from our yard. He would. My grandfather built a wood mill. It would process the trees into logs, chop them up. We had a wood splitter that I would run that was probably like 100 years old. Then we'd have to hand stack all the cords of wood down in the basement for the whole winter. And it was backbreaking labor. And it was just myself and my two sisters, and they worked us. And when we weren't doing that, we were taking care of the garden in the summer. Mm-hmm. In the winter, we had to rotate who would have to get up at 4 a.m. in the morning when the fire was getting low and make it warm again so that by the time everybody else got up, it would be a habitable temperature.
I'm right here with you.
It's hardcore.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you.
This is 2015, and I'm 25 years old, and... Yeah, I.
First of all, but everything you're describing, I'm just getting tired. I'm just getting tired.
You want to see work ethic? No. People always say, like, I had no problem getting jobs before I did the adult business in California, because once they saw where I was from, they're like, oh, she's going to work and she's never going to be late and she'll put in twice the amount of work, twice the amount of hours, and won't say boo and probably work for a lower rate than anyone else here.
She's a migrant laborer. You know, she does. Yeah. But no,
we don't need those in Maine. Like,
you just bring everybody from Maine.
It was just, you know, Maine is a predominantly white state. Everybody does the work. There isn't no like hierarchy about who, like what race or what sort of group has to work hard and what group doesn't have to work hard. Everybody works hard there.
Because it sounds like self-sustaining. And it's also like if you don't work hard, and you're going to just go away.
And I mean, it's changing a lot now. I see every time I go back home to the state, it's getting more modernized. But I mean, I was just there last week and there's still so much old-timiness there. And
would you ever go back and move there? Live there?
I'm fascinated. As I get older, I get more and more fascinated with that special old fashioned way of life. I don't think I could ever live there full time, but I would love to. If my parents leave me a house there, I would keep it and probably have it as a summer home where it's warmer. And a lot of people like to summer in Maine because you get that nice taste of the old fashioned way of life, but it's not like the down south sort of old. It's its own like sort of woodsy, rustic life, but without having to deal with the bullshit of winter and the backbreaking work of winter. So I would like to have the exit strategy and live in a warm place during winter.
You know, I've been summering in Van Nuys, and it's not quite the same. It's warm, and you know, because there's rough winters here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, 75 on a winter day. It's horrible.
Going with the same thing. Growing up, I had this. You know, we had snow. We had all that, and you know, I lived at the base of Mount Hood, and so it was going out into the forest, getting the cutting wood. That was the whole thing. But during the summer, now we never put it in the basement because I grew up in a trailer and we didn't have a basement. So we had this one of those little sheds, little metal sheds that we would fill. But my job in the summertime, my punishment in the summertime, if I did something wrong, there was a back patio that could house all the wood as well. So I had to empty out the shed and restack it on the other side of the yard. Then if I got in trouble,
you'd move it.
I'd have to move it back. But the thing was, I had to make sure I got in trouble the right amount of times, because even if I wasn't in trouble, the wood had to go back into the shed. So it was one of the things, I didn't do anything. Well, you messed up a couple times, so it's got to go back into mm-hmm. the shed. But I mean, it was those type of things. And again, my, you know, my grandparents were orchardists, and I, their house recently sold in the past decade. And it was, I went up and I saw it, and I was like, if I could get high speed internet and if I could get the things that I need to be able to do my work, I would live out here. It's like, there's times in the wintertime you can't get out of there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I could live that way. I could do that with the wood stove and live that life. Oh, I could do
and
that.
And it's almost like when I was young, living that way was a little bit embarrassing because there were, you know, city kids at school and the country kids. Mm-hmm. I had an hour and 15 minute bus ride to school each way, every day.
It was uphill both ways. And, I knew he was going to go for it.
And, I just was thinking, like, I wanted to start crying, like, you poor girl. Get her some food, please.
But you don't know any better. Let's get her a
blanket. Let's get her a blanket and some warm her up. Give her a cup of soup.
I was telling somebody the other day about bus routes and how we had snow days and things like that. Mm-hmm. And we're at the base of a mountain, and so there's a lot of mountains. And our school bus, you would go down and take a right at the bottom of this hill to go to the elementary school, drop off the kids, and then we'd go to the middle school, and we'd go to each of the schools. Except for, you didn't go, oh, there's an inch of snow and it's a snow day. No, there's 3 inches of ice and 2 feet of snow that landed. You know, and we knew that if there was that, we'd go to the middle school first because the bus couldn't stop. Didn't stop. It was honk, 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 and go right through the stop sign and keep going down the road because they couldn't stop. And it's like, you know, you go through and I've you live that life.
I've never had a snow day in my life. Maybe a sand day.
Like, now, what things do you – now, you're younger than I am, and when I was a kid, you know, there was only 4 channels on television. There were only certain things. So I went without. There was no internet. There were no those things didn't exist.
Rough life.
Now, how – was there anything like that with you where you grew up where you didn't live like the other kids?
Entertainment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you sit around the fire and tell stories?
Pretty much. Oh, yeah. Well, my parents were more of like, go play outside. It'd be like the middle of the night and snowing out and be like, wait, what? You want something to do? Go play outside. Go dig a hole in the snow. Go play outside.
Just go outside.
We didn't have TVs.
There's a bear outside. Go play with him.
But it's true. We didn't have TVs. We had one corded phone in the house and there were no computers. So if we wanted to entertain ourselves, we had to go out. Our father, like, growing up, it was weird because he had like all this heavy construction equipment and he used to let us play with it. When you're living in the woods and our driveway was a quarter mile long into the forest, he built it himself because he owns the equipment to do it. Mm-hmm. He built the house himself so it didn't like work correctly a lot of the time, and that's why we had mostly wood-fired heating, because what he didn't know how to do when he was building the house, he just was like, oh, fuck it. Let's put a wood, stove in this room.
So there was no central air.
No. Oh, no. There was nothing. It was so primitive. One bathroom. Sometimes it, like, wouldn't work right. And when we wanted to do something, he'd be like, go dig a hole. And I remember, like, being 10 years old and playing with his backhoe loaders, digging holes in the yard, or digging up rocks. Or one time, I have this like really early memory of him giving us what I thought was silly putty. He used to take us sometimes, if he couldn't get a sitter, to like some of his job sites where he would check in to see how the construction was going. And he mostly dealt with like quartz quarries way out in the woods. Mm-hmm. And we'd take like, one time he said, I need to go pick up a rock because there's quartz in it. And he's like, I want to mine the quartz crystals so we can have some cool decorations inside the house. So he had this old dump truck, and he waited for everybody, like, on a Sunday where everybody had the day off. And we all, like, piled in this super illegal dump truck that had a hole in the floor. We drove down to this quarry where there's this huge rock there. And then he, like, started up one of the backhoe loaders, dropped the rock into the dump truck, and all this stuff fell out of it that was orange. And he's like, oh, you want something to play with while I'm busy tying up this rock? And he just said, go play with this stuff. He's like, mold something in it. It was explosive putty. It was a blast site. God. And it was all, they drilled like holes into the rock and they stuffed the putty in to blast it. But that rock never detonated. And this is the stuff we were, like, that was the toys we got. Exactly. Go play outside with your putty. You know, and
I remember we had a life. We had a bar of lead at my house that you could bend because it's all bendable. Yeah. And I just look at it and go, parenting.
I know, right? But we're here. We're still fine. Yeah,
we're fine. I wasn't totally like I was fine. Licking it or anything. Now, it reminded me when you were talking about the length of your driveway. I remember I had a friend who had a driveway that was about 10 miles long. And it was across their property. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the 90s. And we were all out there. There was a bunch of us out there hanging out at this house out in the middle of nowhere. And I had to take one of the girls home. Now, I'm like a sophomore, junior in high school, and we're okay. And there's nothing out there. There's nothing. We go, and my pickup truck blew out a tire. And we didn't know how far down the road we were. There was nobody coming. So it's like, okay, there's no cell phones. There's none of these things. So we had to choose between walking down to the reservoir, because we knew there was a payphone there, or going the other way. We started just hiking, and we, you know, either way, we knew we were going miles. And I just remember the father at the house came out to find out what had happened, because her mother was calling, and I guess he pulled up to the back of the truck and just sat there and blinked his lights a couple times and beeped the horn just to make sure there wasn't something going on in the truck. But then we went off. And it was funny. We get in the truck and he goes, you know, everything okay? Yeah, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I saw the truck. And he goes, why'd you guys walk that way? He goes, it was only 3 miles back to the house. And and it's like this life of there was no road. There was nothing. If it hadn't have been for parents being concerned, we would have just been walking in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just like that was life.
Did that for fun. My parents would be like, go for a walk in the woods. Exactly. And we just start walking in the woods. And like when I look back now, I'm thinking it's a miracle I never got lost or, attacked by animals. And we'd see animals. Sometimes there'd be bears or deer or moose
lions,
in the yard.
Tigers. There's and no bears. Oh my!
Wow. Oh City my. Boy, calm down there. Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned animals. Have you ever grown up around animals?
We used to raise pheasants to eat. Nice. And so
I've hunted pheasants
before.
There
were pheasants. My parents didn't really like dogs, but we always had a lot of cats. And sometimes we'd find like half of our cat like in the driveway because coyotes would always get them. Because the cats weren't allowed to sleep inside at night.
They were outdoor cats.
Yes.
And they helped keep down the pest population.
So I always had snakes. I usually would, my parents would be like, you want a pet? Well, go catch a pet. So I'm like, well, I can catch snakes. So growing up, I'd always have like a couple pet snakes in a can.
I love the idea
of
coming home with a bear. Dad, where did you put the bear?
And to this day, I've always had a pet. I've had my pet snake for 5 years now in LA. As soon as I moved to LA, I missed having something of the wild, and I went out and got a rescue snake, and still have him.
You rescued a snake.
A Craigslist snake.
It happens.
Free Craigslist snake.
You want to rescue birds? We know who to talk to.
No. Like, my grandparents didn't really have... I didn't grow up on a farm where there were animals, but my best friend in high school, his parents owned a dairy. Mm-hmm. And our thing is if we wanted to go out on Friday night, Friday night was the night he had to milk the cows. And we'd have to milk 50 cows before we could go out and do anything. And we're like juniors and seniors in high school going, what do you got to do? We got to go milk the cows. And we'd go through and rush to milk the cows as soon as we could. Mm-hmm. And this was life, you know, the bale of hay in the back of truck, so we didn't slide off the road going to town, which was 15 miles away. After we got done milking, going to Jack in the Box at 11 o'clock at night was like a treat. That was like the biggest deal. Like, that's the city. It was, you know, it was.
I used to get super excited going to Walmart.
Yep.
When Walmart came to my hometown. And yeah, my grandparents down the road had always a large herd of cattle and haying season because they're free range cattle. So they're in hay fields. And then to feed the cows all through the winter, you have to do some extreme haying all summer long. And we'd all have to every weekend go around and shuck bales and everything until they got more modernized haying equipment. And that was just part of life. Work, hard work, and it makes me think of, like, now that I'm in porn, some of the connections I see when you're outside all the time and in nature and seeing animals and seeing, like, the raw ways of life, you, from an early age, I understood sex well because you see sex in the wild and on the farm all the time, and sex is important for your food. And so I think that's why maybe like my sense of sexuality and my family is included. We all understand it and appreciate it. And it's not a taboo thing. And we can talk about it. They've always been supportive of me. And I think a lot of that also has to do with the fact that my sisters and I saw sex as just another part of life in the wilderness.
Now, attention, all talent out there, female and possibly male, she equates sex with food. So you better feed her afterwards or she's eating you, much like the other animals.
Survival of the fittest.
Very nice. Well, you know, this thing of podcasting, luckily the people back home probably won't hear because they're still on 56K dial up. You know,
if that.
But for all your rural fans out there, the people that can relate to your life, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter if you use your computer for social media. And that's at Odette, O-D-E-T-T-E, Delacroix, D-E-L-A-C-R-O-I-X. I also have a couple websites, sexycustomvideos.com and petiteversusplump.com for if you really like to grow a lot of food and then feed it to large women.
Well played. Mr. Avery, how about you?
You can't find me at all. I'm hidden.
Yes, you are, in an undisclosed location in the Hollywood Hills.
Exactly.
Well, Odette, thank you so much for coming out and sharing stories.
Thank you for having me.
About growing up in the middle of nowhere. My name is Mo Reese. This has been More with Mo. You can find me on Twitter at MoXXX or Mox, as some people like to call me. And check out my blog, theaveragemo.com, where you can see all sorts of photos, videos, and you can listen to this show. Thanks for listening.